you know you are capable of more. Because you have a burning desire to get the absolute most out of your career and life, to starve your fears, to follow your dreams, and to realize your true potential. And we are going to do that together. This is the Own Your Career, Own Your Life podcast. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Own Your Career podcast. I'm your host, Andy Storch, and this is a show where we can starve our fears, follow our dreams, and achieve more than we really think possible by taking ownership of our careers, responsibility for everything we have going on, setting a vision for where we want to go, and taking ownership, making a plan, and taking action on a regular basis. I've done that over and over again with my career over the last few years since I really dived into the world of personal development and started following my dreams. And I have been on a mission to help so many other people do the same through my book, through my keynotes, through my podcast, and all the other work that I'm doing. So the first time you're discovering this, a lot of the content from the podcast is based on my book, which is called Own Your Career, Own Your Life, which is available on Amazon. You can also get free resources on our website, ownyourcareerownyourlife.com, and just click on bonus. Or you can hear just about every chapter in the book read aloud, either through the Audible book version or right here on this podcast. And I also release regular episodes on different topics that I think are relevant for you as you go on your journey toward owning your career. And today I want to talk about owning your career in uncertain times. I know times are always uncertain, but I got to tell you right now, as I record this in March of 2024, I feel like there's a lot of uncertainty and nervousness in the economy. And it's kind of a weird time. I've talked about this in a couple podcast interviews where, you know, stock market in the U.S. at least is hitting all-time highs. Cryptocurrency is back to all-time highs. Bitcoin and Ethereum, at least as I record this, Bitcoin passed all-time high, Ethereum just off of theirs. Big companies are thriving, great earnings reports, lots of money presumably out there in the economy. Real estate market not as hot as it used to be, mostly because interest rates are still high, but will probably be coming back at some point. There's still a housing shortage. It seems like there's people out and about wherever I go, in airports, restaurants, shopping malls. So a lot of people out spending money. Basically, I say all these things to say that outside signs show that the economy is great right now. And yet inside, and when I say inside, I'm really talking about people's minds, it's not necessarily the case, because surveys show a lot of people are very nervous about the economy. And I've also seen a ton of layoffs that have been going on over the last few months, really the last year, but especially the last few months, different companies, especially in the tech space, but other industries as well. I have personally known several people, especially in the learning and development space, who have been laid off. Could point to probably five in the last week who have told me that they've been laid off or were laid off sometime in the last few weeks. So that's been happening, and a lot of other people nervous about layoffs. And of course, I'm running a business over here working with large companies, and many of those companies have come back to me recently on proposals that I've sent out or that we've discussed, work that we've discussed doing together, telling me that, oh, you know, budgets are tight now. We've decided to do things internally. We can't hire external consultants right now because we've been, you know, some constraints have been put in place. So I'm not saying that things are dire or bad. I think there's still tons of money and opportunity and things going on out there in the world. I think that there are still plenty of companies hiring. If I log on to LinkedIn and I just scroll through my feed, I see people starting new jobs every day, every week. I certainly know plenty of other entrepreneurs who are doing quite well in their business. And I'm still doing business. I've got a keynote tomorrow for a global company and another one in a few weeks for another tech company. And so it's not like nothing is happening. And I'm certainly not sharing those to say, you know, hey, doomsday, like the world's coming to an end or things are going to be bad. In fact, I'm an optimist and I want you to be an optimist as well. But we also have to be pragmatic, and we need to prepare ourselves and set ourselves up, put ourselves in the best position to succeed in the world. And I recognize that with constrained resources, with layoffs that have been happening, and companies not hiring as many people and having limited resources, not hiring as many consultants or contractors to come in and help with things, that the people who remain in these big companies tend to be working harder than they were before. I'm seeing that across the board. And the people who remain tend to be very nervous about the future and potential layoffs. And so that's why I'm recording this today, not because I have any predictions about the economy or where things are going, not because I have any idea of what's happening specifically in your company or your industry or what is going to be happening in the near future. But I do know that people are nervous and that there's no better time to take ownership of your career. And so I posted an article on LinkedIn about this recently, and I wanted to go through some of the main points because I think it's really important if you find yourself in that category where you're a little bit nervous about what's going on in the economy, you're a little bit nervous about your job or your friends' jobs or your business. And if you are, then and rightfully so, because no one knows what's going to happen. It's also an election year in the U.S., 2024. And so I think some people, you know, tend to add a little bit of nervousness to that. Even the market sometimes wonders, okay, who's going to win? What's going to happen? And by the way, I don't think it really matters at the end of the day who wins. I think, you know, business gets back to usual. Obviously, everybody has their own personal preferences and opinions about the you know, candidates and the platforms and the things that they care about. But economically or from an economic perspective, I don't think things matter as much in the end. And things will continue to run, you know, sort of as usual, barring any like crazy, crazy big things that happen, which sometimes do, as we learned in 2020, which had nothing to do with politics. Okay, so if you find yourself in this position where you are, you know, a little bit nervous about what's going on in the economy, in your company, in your industry, in your job, there are a few things I want to tell you today. And as an entrepreneur, I'm facing, you know, the same uncertainty, like I said earlier, and stress from maybe less business. So the number one thing I want to share with you is to focus on what's in your control and try not to worry too much about what's not in your control. Now, I realize it's impossible or nearly impossible not to worry when there are potentially bad things coming, like you might lose your job or you might not get as many sales. I worry about that stuff. But I try not to worry about it too much because there's not much I can do to change the overall macro situation. So I've written about this. I've talked about this plenty of times before. There's many things in the world that are outside of our control, including the weather, politics, the economy, your company leadership or the clients that I work with, and even your manager, your colleagues, your spouse, and your pets are not in your control. You can try to influence them, but they are not in your control. And it's natural to worry about what might happen in the future, but worrying, like I said, is often not very productive. You know, it's impossible probably not to worry at all, but we have to also remember that it's not very productive to just sit there worrying and worrying and worrying about what's going to happen in the future. In fact, I once heard that worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but it won't get us anywhere. So worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but it won't get us anywhere. So there are a lot of things in life that are outside of our control, and worrying about them, worrying about the economy, worrying about who's going to win the election, worrying about what decisions your company is going to make if layoffs are coming, it's not really going to help you to worry about them. And by the way, if you're worried about the economy or politics, that's natural, but if you are sitting around watching cable news, you're making it worse. You are making it worse. It's that they are just there to create anxiety in you, in us. And so I avoid it at all costs. I scan the headlines, so I kind of know what's going on in the world, but I do not watch any cable news. I haven't in years, other than when I visit my in-laws because my father-in-law has it on all the time. But otherwise, I don't. Because I don't think there are any benefits. You can scan headlines. You can know what's going on in the world. You don't have to have an opinion about everything. You really need to focus on your own life, your own job, your own business, your own family, and the things that are in your control. So what's in your control? What's in your control is how we show up. It's how we respond to the events that are going on around us and impacting us, and how we treat ourselves, how we treat others, how we spend our time, how we take care of our health, how we do our job, how hard we work, how we collaborate with others, how we treat others, are we kind to them? And especially, like I said, how we respond to the events that come up. So, you know, if something happens with your job, how do you respond to that? If it starts raining, you can't control if it rains, but you can control if you had bought an umbrella ahead of time and you brought it with you, right? Side note, I don't own an umbrella. So if it rains, I can't go outside and complain, crap, it's raining, I can't go anywhere, I wish I had an umbrella. I mean, I can, but the complaining is not going to get me anywhere. If I want to be in a better shape in that situation, I need to plan ahead and get the umbrella. So let's talk about planning ahead. Let's talk about getting your umbrella for the rainy day, because maybe there are layoffs coming or changes in your company or your industry, and you could spend time worrying about them, or you could focus on what's in your control by taking some action to improve your chances of success in the future. And if you choose to focus on what's in your control, here are some things that you can do. Number one is develop new skills and look for ways to provide value to the organization you work for. So the days of, I've talked about this before, the days of getting a degree and leveraging that education in one role for 30 years are pretty much over. And I think you would probably agree with that based on what you're seeing in the working world as well. We need to be learning and developing new skills all the time, or we risk being disrupted or becoming irrelevant. I talked about this in my book, Own Your Career, Own Your Life, and I talk about it often in the keynotes and training that I provide, that the world of work is changing all the time, and we need to absolutely keep learning to keep up. In fact, in the book, I talked about the three skills that you can always be doing, things you can always be doing to set yourself up for future success. And investing in continuous learning is one of those things that we need to be doing on a regular basis, because if we don't, we risk becoming stagnant. We risk becoming irrelevant. And we don't want to be those people. Those are usually the first people that are let go, right? If an organization is doing a fair assessment of the people that work there, they're going to say, okay, who's providing the least amount of value? Who is the most irrelevant? Who's behind the times? Is not developing the skills of the future? Those are the people we want to let go. I'm not saying it always works out perfectly that way. Sometimes it's just based on department or tenure or something else random. I have no idea how a lot of these things are done. But if I were going through that horrible layoff kind of thing at an organization, if I was forced to do that, I would say, okay, who's providing the least amount of value, right? And who is the worst or least adept at keeping up with the time? So technology is changing fast. AI is taking over the world. You really can't stop it, right? But you can improve your chances of being seen as valuable in the future by continuously educating yourself and developing new skills and trying to learn as much as you can about these new technologies and new skills. You can start by analyzing your industry and function. That would be the role that you're in, whether it's learning and development, IT, operations, supply chain, legal, you name it. And so start by analyzing your industry and your function, and by asking people what skills they think will be the most valuable in the future, and starting to learn and practice as much as you can so that you can start to develop more of those skills. So you might be reading articles, you might be following people on LinkedIn, you might do information interviews with executives or leaders in that space to find out what they're thinking about, what they're working on. You can also go to your manager or leadership and ask or infer from their communications which skills and projects will be most valuable now and in the future, and look for ways to develop some of those skills for the future while also looking for ways to provide value now. Some layoffs are inevitable, but in many cases, leaders won't want to let go of the most valuable employees. So you can set a goal to become one of those employees. And there's lots of ways to go about this. This is a lot more tactical than strategic. But it starts by asking the question, what would be most valuable for my organization now? What are the goals? What are the objectives? What are the key KPIs or key performance indicators they care about? And what is most what would be most valuable for my boss, for my team? What do they care about? So not just doing whatever he or she asked me to do, or what the team asked me to do, and following the directions on my role, but looking for those extra projects, those things that you can do that you know will be more valuable down the line to the team and to the organization. And this has got to be done through action and integrity, not trying to lie or pretend you're valuable if you're not, or you don't want to do it at the expense of your colleagues. I'm all about abundance, not scarcity. So it means you're not thinking about being in competition with your colleagues for roles or the layoffs or anything like that, but really just thinking about how can I provide more and more value to the organization, prove to them that I'm providing value, and make sure that they know about the value that you're providing. So speaking of that, the next step is building your network and your personal brand. Because no matter what happens with your company and the economy, the best opportunities in the future will always come from referrals, relationships, and personal recommendations. So that means it's always beneficial to be making friends, building relationships, and building your network. And I mentioned earlier, in the middle section of my book, I talk about the three things you can always be doing to set yourself up for future success, no matter what's going on in the economy, in the world, in your job. Those three things are investing in continuous learning, building your network, and building your personal brand. So the second one here is building your network and personal brand. Now, this may seem impossible when you're being asked to work harder and to do the same or more with constrained resources. I know I see people like that all the time. But one key element of owning your career, and something I talk a lot about in my book, as well as in the keynotes and on this podcast, of course, is being intentional with your actions and not just reactive to what's going on today. So this means that beyond getting your work done and responding to the emails and requests and things that are coming your way, you need to be thinking about the future as well and the things you can do to provide value to yourself, to your career, and to your organization down the line. So this means getting intentional and proactive with building your network. That might include reaching out to old colleagues, getting to know current colleagues better, reaching out to people in your organization that you don't know that work in different departments, reaching out to new people in your industry who are doing work that you might want to be doing or doing great work, people you admire so that you can learn from them. You can also get more intentional with building your personal brand, which is essentially your reputation. This is what people think about you, what they say about you, and it's impacted by how you work with others and how you show up online. So you can start by asking what you want to be known for, and I'm working on more content. There's a whole chapter in the book about this, more content in the future, but start by asking what do you want to be known for, and then make sure you're showing up in alignment with that brand. So if you want to be known as someone who is valuable, reliable, hardworking, you can check in on a regular basis and ask, am I showing up in alignment with those things? Am I being valuable to the organization? Am I reliable? Am I hardworking? And you can start to be thoughtful and mindful and intentional with how you're showing up each day. Are you being collaborative? Are you getting things done? Are you reliable? Are you acting with integrity? Are you providing value? Are you being a valuable asset to the organization? And as you show up more in alignment with this, you know, hey, I'm doing the things that I said I was going to do. I'm showing up in alignment with the brand I want to build. And you can't make other people think certain things about you, but you can certainly influence it with the way you're showing up and the way that you're acting. And of course, the quality of your work is paramount, but also how well you collaborate, how you treat others, all those things factor into your personal brand, as well as what you're sharing online. So are you posting on LinkedIn? Are you commenting on other people's posts? Are you supporting people in your network, your friends, your colleagues? Are you sharing interesting things that you're listening to and reading? So you could share a post about this podcast or the book that you're reading or anything else to help other people and show that you're also a thoughtful learning person, as well as maybe some content about the topic they're really interested in, your industry, your function, that sort of thing. So now would be a great time to start building the brand, as it's going to come up in handy when opportunities come up later. Okay, so next couple things you can be doing to set yourself up for future success as you are dealing with the uncertainty and potential layoffs in your organizations. We talked about focusing on what's in your control. We talked about making sure that you are providing value, that you're developing new skills, you're building your network, you're building your personal brand, and you're looking for all those opportunities where you can be providing value in the organization you're in now. Again, focusing on the things that are in your control, how you're showing up, how you're collaborating, how hard you're working, trying not to worry too much about the other things that are going on. And then the kind of last thing related to work is to consider backup options, because there are a lot of things that are outside of your control, like company leadership, the economy, what happens in your industry, what the company, you know, decides to do. Ultimately, you can provide as much value as possible, but if the company decides to do a massive layoff, you might still be impacted by it. And so, you know, people don't like to talk about it or think about it, but they do happen. And instead of waiting and being surprised when it happens, I highly suggest that you start working on some type of backup plan or backup options now. So reach out to past colleagues. We talked about networking and people in your industry to build relationships. Ask about other opportunities. Start a side business or a side hustle. Start exploring other job opportunities. Doesn't mean that you're going to take another job right now. It doesn't mean that you want to leave your job. But it's important to start to consider what else would you do if that news came. And are you building the relationships right now, digging your well before you're thirsty, as they say, before you need them? So you can start to think about what you'd do if you lost your job and just do it now instead of waiting until it happens. And again, it doesn't mean that you plan on leaving anytime soon. You might love your job today and plan on staying for a long time, but the company or economy might change. So you may as well at least consider what you would do if you ever get that dreaded email or message. The last thing I want to talk about is taking care of your health, because as resources become constrained, I've noticed people working more, and this tends to go in cycles or phases, and it's understandable given where we are with the economy, but it also causes people to work more and therefore neglect other important parts of their life, like their health, their family, their well-being. And I'm here to remind you that work is not everything. Gasp. I mean, I know we all need to make money. I know we have obligations. I know that we want to perform well. We want to be respected. So many reasons to work hard, but work is not everything, and your health is important, and that will allow you to stay productive and work longer the healthier you are. So don't neglect it. You need to take care of your health more than ever, especially if you're going through stressful times. So don't neglect it. I see the foundational elements of good health as being getting enough sleep, eating nutritious foods, which I mean vegetables, moving your body or exercise, and taking care of your mental health. So sleep, I personally try to sleep 7 or 8 hours a night. I will, you know, try to get to bed before 10, set an alarm maybe around 6. You can do what works for you, but, you know, don't push it. I know people that say like, oh yeah, I only get 5 hours of sleep a night, but that catches up with a lot of people. Only a few people can actually handle that. I personally eat a plant-based diet with vegetables every day. You certainly don't have to eat that. You're welcome to eat meat, but I would highly recommend you focus on quality of the meat and the other food that you're putting in your body. Buy organic, you know, produce if you can, and try to avoid processed foods, you know, and fried foods and too much sugar, and focus on making sure you're getting lots of natural foods, fruits and vegetables, the outside aisles of the grocery store, if you will. I hit the gym fairly regularly, not as much as I used to because I have bad shoulder problems right now, but I also go on a lot of bike rides. I play sports, and I just try to get, you know, at least 8,000 to 10,000 steps a day walking around town and just moving my body every so often. I stand up for all of my meetings and podcast interviews so that I'm not sitting all day. And I also meditate every day, and I see that as like a great foundation for mental health. And I do a lot of walking. I find getting the movement in can be really helpful for ideas, productivity, health, and happiness. So at the very least, you know, make this your call to action to eat a little healthier and to just go for a walk right now. If you're not walking while you're listening to this, start walking, right? Go for a walk. I think this is really helpful for your ideas, productivity, health, and happiness. And by taking care of ourselves, we can ensure that we have the energy and focus we need to perform at our best, even in challenging times. And similarly, I know work is important, but make sure you're spending time with your family or people you care about, because when you get to the end of your life, the work probably won't matter, but those people will, and you don't want to regret neglecting them. Plus, time with loved ones creates more purpose, fulfillment, and happiness, and can give you more energy to get your more work done as well. I know there's so much work to do, and I feel it as well. Even though I run my own business, I kind of make my own schedule. I'll just tell you, like every day, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. And then my daughter sits down and asks if I'll read with her, or my son comes and says, hey, will you come play soccer with me? And my temptation is to say, no, I have work to do. But most of the time I say yes, because I know that this is time that I'll never get back with them, and I need to make sure that I'm spending that quality time. That's what they really want to do. They don't care if I send 5 more emails, and quite frankly, nobody else really does either, right? So in conclusion, the economy and world of work are changing, and the future is uncertain. But rather than sitting around worrying about what might be coming, I highly suggest taking ownership and focusing on what's in your control. What can you add? You know, where can you add value? What new skills can you develop? How can you build your network and personal brand? What backup options do you have if things go south? And are you taking care of your health so that you can work and longer and be happier? And make sure that you're talking with your manager, your mentors, your colleagues, and friends as well. Don't keep all this stuff inside, but have lots of conversations. Find out what's going on. Share what you're concerned about. You know, try to find answers to your questions. And then again, focus on what's in your control. You can find more advice in my book, which I mentioned. It's called Own Your Career, Own Your Life. It's available on Amazon. I think we have close to, if not over, 300 positive reviews on there. I also have free resources on my website. If you go to ownyourcareeronyourlife.com and click on bonus resources, you can download the 5 steps to owning your career and the top 5 most common career mistakes that people make. And you can keep listening to this podcast where I'm sharing content on a regular basis. All right. I wish you luck. And I also want to let you know, if you happen to be an executive, a leader, someone who works in talent development, that I do speak. I love speaking in organizations to teach and inspire people to own their careers. So if you think that these tips would be helpful to your colleagues, reach out and let's see if it's a fit for me to come speak in your company. The email is andy@andystorch.com. All right, thank you for listening. I hope that you will absolutely take ownership of your career, take care of your health, take care of your family. I hope that you will find gratitude for the great things that you do have going on in the world, and that you will be kind to yourself and others. Take care.